what they've done covering college football that I think we were fine. Like, I don't think, like, the latest news was going to really affect us much.
Okay. Got to get a couple Pitt-specific questions here.
Of course.
You Green made the all-time team, which...
Absolutely.
We're happy about, but I was just curious who even beat out at the defensive end position, who the other contenders were that he topped.
Sure. Let's see exactly. I have my results right here. Okay. Hugh Green edged out Ted Hendricks from Miami. Obviously, there wasn't a Miami representative, which, being a Hurricane, that kind of hurt me. Alan Page was highly regarded. Deacon Jones, Jack Youngblood, who, again, there were no Gators on the team, which, again, nothing against the Gators, nothing against the Hurricanes. It's just the way that the vote worked. Ed Jones, Ross Browner, Ron Kramer, Billy Ray Smith, Art Still, they all got representation.
Okay. That's interesting. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people going, Deacon Jones didn't make it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it was also, there was so little publicity of, you know, South Carolina State when Deacon Jones was there.
Right.
You know, like, it was an all-time pro thing, obviously.
Yeah.
But there was so little publicity, so little record of what was going on there. It was sort of, a lot of players from the black colleges are definitely overlooked. I mean, and we were trying to, again, like, you know, Jerry Rice did make the team. Mm-hmm. I mean, by that time, there was enough publicity, and he did do so much in college that, you know, his pro career was so great that his college career is kind of overlooked now. But if you look back at it, he was Jerry Rice in college, too.
Right.
People just didn't notice that.
Well, and, you know, again, coming back to the stats, defensive players just did not have any stats, really, for the longest time.
Yeah, and also for 100 years, there were no, you know, quote-unquote defensive players. They were just players. You know, like, they played both sides of the ball.
Right.
It was the two-platoon system, and that's the other thing. When we were putting together the team, we were trying to get as much representation from the players who really played a different game when they were playing both sides of the ball. I mean, Jim Thorpe makes it as a defensive back, basically, on this team. You know, obviously, the Jim Thorpe Award is named after him for the best defensive back in college, but he made his reputation as a player on offense. You know, he was the man who could control the game. And, yeah, that was so, we were trying to hit, like, the defense was definitely the most difficult part, trying to draw the line between those who just played defense and those who played both ways, and trying to find spots for them. So, like, it's a very blurry, gray area between offense and defense on this team.
Yeah. Like, right, I can see, like, looking at the defensive players, a lot more of them seem to be coming from post-60s.
Right, exactly, because they're the ones that are, you know, straight defensive players. Once you put, you know, there were a couple of false starts, basically, of developing a two-platoon system, but then by the time, you know, the late 50s are around, everybody was doing it, and so that's where you're going to get the purely defensive players, although, you know, for example, Sammy Baugh was a punter,
uh-huh.
You know, because he was one of the greatest punters of all time, also, so he's our quarterback and punter.
Right.
So we were just trying to get a good representation of, based on all of the talent. And I don't want to say regardless of position, but positions are a blurry thing on this.
Right. Well,
it's football players, basically.
Right. Well, I guess, like I said, memories are playing into it. I mean, people remember and always talked about the offensive side even before the numbers were really there.
Absolutely.
And defense always, you know, just gets someone forgotten, and you have only, you know, you don't have stats to help back it up. All you have is what people remember, and once you start going back past 40-some years, memories are pretty hazy.
Right. For example, one of our ends is Leon Hart, who got almost as much support as a defensive end as he did as an offensive end. Mm-hmm. He's still the only, you know, quote-unquote lineman defensive player, you know, to win the Heisman, really.
Right. Okay. I guess turning to a specific decade.
Yep.
How does Tony Dorsett not make the 70s team?
How does Tony Dorsett not make the 70s team? Let me go to my 70s team. Where is that? We have Earl Campbell and Archie Griffin. I believe that's who we have there.
I think it's George Rogers.
Oh, it's George Rogers. Okay. That was basically, that was kind of on the numbers. That was on the numbers. We just went through, obviously there were, you know, a lot of great running backs in the 70s.
Yes, you have three there, Billy Sims, Archie Griffin, and Johnny Rogers.
George Rogers. Yeah. Well, Johnny Rogers is a wing back. He's kind of...
Well, you list kind of, you list him RB, so...
Yeah, well... Yeah, he, I mean, but he was more of, you know, he was in that, you know, brass piece, technically, right. Yeah, well, he was, I mean, he even made the all-time team here. He was one of the greatest, you know, return men and quick step back guys. Billy Sims also was, I mean, again, it's one of those things where, you know, you ask 20 different people, you may get 20 different answers, but that's just the way the ball bounced on this one.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a couple other questions I've got, just to go a bit off topic, but since I've got